Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Monday, December 6, 2021. So this is our last AAC meeting for this calendar year. To begin with, you know that this meeting is being recorded. As usual, the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is WMETA.com. Just a few helpful tips for people joining via phone call. You can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make any comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. Everyone joining via the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you go under reactions, you can click on the hand raise icon to raise or lower your virtual hands. That tells us that you would like to make any comment. Everyone is on mute at this point, so we do appreciate one speaker at a time. And as you know, we have ASL interpreters with us on this meeting. So I would request everyone to please state your name first. It helps them knowing who's the speaker, and it also helps anyone on the phone call knowing who the speaker is at that time. Chair Posner, with your permission, I would go ahead and read the meeting agenda out loud before I do the roll call.
Why don't we do the roll call and then we'll do the agenda once we have it accepted.
Okay, sure. All right, so we'll do the roll call for the AAC members. Please confirm your presence. Elver Ariza Silva. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher. Marcy Goldstein.
Yeah.
Thank you. Melanie Henderson.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thomas Mangrum.
Here.
Thank you. Philippa Mazzell. Anthony Oberg.
Here.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Adam Messi. Adam.
Ms. Rush.
Present.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. Paul Semelford. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Semino.
I'm here.
Thank you. That concludes our roster for today's meeting. So shall I go ahead and read the agenda out loud at this point?
Oh, let's have it accepted first and then we'll do it.
Okay.
Welcome to everybody. We're going to have a busy evening. We're going to have a guest, Dr. Tracy Haddon-Lowe, who is the newest representative to the WMATA board, and she will be a voting member of the board representing the District of Columbia. And so when we start, when she arrives, we will go to her, and that should be at 6 o'clock, and she's very punctual. I'd also like to continue the rules we adopted the last time, which is please announce who you are when you are recognized so that the interpreters can pass that on. And we will be timing everyone, and we will be keeping the timer going at 2 minutes as we move through everybody's discussion. And we will give you a warning as the timer is running down to the 2 minutes. We will start with an approval of the agenda. And what I'd like to do is move a couple of things around because the Finance Committee has just posted their agenda for this Thursday. And there are some things we need to talk about. Those are items that will be going on the docket. And so we may move that up ahead of the Hedinger Award. Or we may do that while Dr. Lowe is with us. So I'd like to stay flexible on that. So with that having been said, with unanimous consent, we can accept the budget as it was just outlined. Are there any objections? Hearing none, we have an agenda. The next item, as we usually do, are approval of our prior meeting minutes. And hopefully everyone has had an opportunity to read them. And with unanimous consent, we'll accept them as presented. If anyone has any additions, suggestions, or subtractions, please raise your hand. Seeing none, hearing none, we'll accept the minutes as being accepted. Next is the board report, and you have seen the draft of the board report, and that is an outline of what we have done for the past month. But I will be giving that following the board's finance committee meeting, where they will establish the docket for hearings of the coming budget and the safety committee. And so it will be the base for what I talk about, but if you trust me to give some responses to what comes up in the finance presentation. And hopefully we'll discuss a little bit about that tonight as a preview, because I have already read what they're planning on requesting for the docket. And I will present it to you and see how you feel about it during our budget discussion. So with unanimous consent, I'm actually asking for approval of my common sense in adjusting what's written. And if there's anything that should be added, please speak up now. Raise your hand. Seeing no hands and hearing nothing, we can assume we have unanimous consent for the draft of what I will be working with on Thursday, following safety, operations, and budget discussions by the board. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is a discussion of the Hedinger Award. And Anu, would you like to tell us about the Hedinger Award, where we are?
Sure. So we had nominations, multiple nominations for one individual. Unanimously, the committee decided on the candidate. The candidate has been informed of the being the recipient of the Hedinger Award. As far as the presenting the award, the committee had discussed to hold the virtual ceremonies in February of 2022, and that is where we stand at this point. There was a discussion about another award. Mr. Sheehan was appointed the chair of that committee by Chair Posner. And if he has anything further to add to that, but as far as the Hedinger Award is concerned, I'm in the process of moving forward with the Hedinger Award as we have been doing in the past. I believe, Patrick, were you trying to make any comments?
Yes, hopefully you're going to give us a report of your committee.
I thought he had unmuted himself, but he's unmuted again, so I'm not sure.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Okay. I muted myself. Thank you. I did not receive any volunteers to serve on the committee, and so I am in the process right now, Phil, of putting together criteria for that, which as soon as I went down a couple of wrong alleys and I did not get what I thought I could get. As soon as I have criteria, which I would expect to have by this week, I will share that with the committee for the upcoming award. I don't think we were very specific with respect to what we were doing as far as whether that award, the work that done by the staff, I think we were looking at, was going to be done at the Hettinger Award or whether it was going to be done at the Met, at the WMATA award ceremony that they have. So I think we still had some things to discuss and work out.
Thank you.
Certainly you and I can talk about that maybe outside the meeting. That might be good.
But that's a good time to ask if anyone would like to volunteer to help you.
Well, I certainly would love the help, the assist. I will put something out to the committee, let them know what we're thinking, let them look at the options. Why don't I do it that way, Phil?
That sounds very good. Thank you. Okay.
Yes, will do.
Do we have any other comments on the Hettinger Award Committee that Mr. Sheehan is chairing? And if not, we can move on. And what I would like to do before Dr. Lowe arrives at 6 o'clock is give you a little bit of introduction to the budget process and what is going on. There are two budgets. One is the operational budget, which is fares, schedules, salaries, running the entire operation from day to day. And then there is the capital budget. These will be approved separately to put together a final budget. The initial presentation from the general manager to the finance committee will be this Thursday. It will be discussed. There will be several discussions over that period before a final preliminary budget is presented to the public between January and March in what they are currently proposing as three public hearings, which will probably be virtual or combined virtual and in person. They will be preparing what is referred to as the docket. The docket is the quote, worst case scenario, so that what you see in the initial docket may frighten you, but that's the worst thing that they can do based upon funding sources, disasters between now and March, and other items that occur. But the public hearings give them an opportunity to adjust what is in the budget. The initial presentation to the Finance Committee, as posted on the website, is requesting making permanent the fare adjustments that were used during the pandemic to increase ridership. And these include the $2 flat fare on the weekends. They include the $2 fare on rail after 9 o'clock at night. They include the reduced price on several fare passes that will be available to everybody. What they do not mention in the posted discussion is anything to do with Metro Access fares. And we need to be alert and be ready to turn out every constituent that we have to those public hearings to point out that the $2 flat fare for bus rail trips should mean $4 flat fare for Metro Access on the weekends, whatever that means. Does that mean Saturday and Sunday? Does that mean Friday to Monday? Or how is that going to work? And what about flat fares for Metro Access, which is something that we have requested for a long time And we can discuss that when we have our budget discussions. What about passes for Metro Access? There are passes for bus, there are passes for rail, there are passes for students, there are passes for visitors, there are passes for regular riders. There's nothing in the way of a pass for a Metro Access rider. The other thing that they are discussing on the fares are the route changes and adjustments. And the question is, are they going to go forward with what they had proposed during earlier discussions of increasing the routes and access to the underserved areas in Prince George's County, in the District of Columbia, and in Virginia? And so those are not in the current docket, and those will be open for discussion. So those are all things to be aware of. And I will send out a copy of what they propose at Thursday's meeting so everybody knows what they're talking about in the docket, so we can start planning our discussions of what we're happy with, what we're not happy with. So it's still a blank slate, but it was a little disappointing to find out that there was no mention of flat fares for Metro Access, something that we have asked for and had explained why we want them and explained what the impact might or might not be to sustainability of the budget. So let me throw that open to the committee. If there are any questions you might have of me for the budget before Dr. Lowe comes in, and then we can ask her. So looking for hands, Anu?
Phil.
I see a friendly face from Metro Access. You're recognized. Go ahead. Just a quick word. Please tell everybody who you are.
Hello, everyone. I'm Paul Somerford. I am the chair of the Metro Access Subcommittee. I wholeheartedly agree with Phil's talking points. I'm presuming, Phil, you will be circulating. When are these hearings supposed to be starting, or have they announced dates yet?
They will be between January and March, and the actual dates have not been set up. They will also be doing in-person focus groups, and they will also be doing online and in-person polling. So that's all to be set up between now and January. And again, we will keep everybody advised.
So what I'm hearing from you is I need to set aside some time at the next subcommittee meeting here in December to talk about talking points for this upcoming hearing, so that we have all kind of, like what Patrick said in the past, kind of steering to the same story, saying the same things that meets the needs of our community.
This is Anu, Paul.
Yes.
We do have keeping that in mind, we do have a topic of discussion saying called budget discussion.
Okay. All right. I will look at that accordingly. Thank you.
Sure. Chair Posner, Deborah Fisher has her hand up. Debbie, would you like to make some comments?
Yes, Debbie, please. And I will tell you something that will make you happy is the board members have repeatedly asked about our outreach to the juvenile disability community, as well as the senior disability community. So Debbie, please go ahead.
Thank you. I would appreciate it if you could review with us, maybe I'm the only one who needs to know this, how does the budget reflect Metro Access's both revenues and expenses? Is it a separate section, or is it incorporated in some way to the general operating budget? How do we know what is allocated?
Yes, there are two things. In the general operating budget, fare box recovery will say how much money WMATA earns from the fares that we pay. And they will also tell us how much we will pay. Will it be a flat fare, or will we bus at twice the comparable bus rail fare, or less than twice the comparable bus rail fare? So that's what we're pushing for. In the capital improvements budget, they will discuss how many vehicles we get and what type of vehicles we get. And so the capital improvement budget does in fact have the funding for the new vehicles, both sedans and vans. That's a good thing. So it will be reflected in both of those budgets. So the hardware is reflected in capital improvements, and operating is and fares is going to be reflected in the operating budget.
May I ask a follow-up? How? But is Metro Access a and its personnel and all of its activities, are they a separate section of the budget, the overall budget, both revenues and expenses, or are they just somehow folded in to everything else? Because if you fold it in, you can hide a lot of things, but if you keep it separate, then we have more information about it as a priority.
It is presented separately. They present separately bus, rail, Metro Access. When they talk about funding, they talk about fare box recovery from bus, rail, Metro Access, and from other sources, jurisdictional contributions, federal contributions, and others such as advertising. And then when they talk about the expense side, then they talk about the cost of bus, the cost of rail, and the cost of Metro Access. And invariably on the chart, as I try to point out to the board on a regular basis, there's a very large bar for rail, a somewhat smaller bar for bus, and no bar at all for Metro Access. It's the X-axis. And so we try to point that out as often as possible so they don't think of Metro Access as a drain on the system, but rather a public service at a bargain. Again, our hardware, our vans and our sedans, our buses, compared to what they spend on one rail car, it is the cost of one seat on that rail car. And so again, at the hearings, that's important for us to point out.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Anu. Chair Posner, we have two more people who have their hands up. Doris Ray, followed by Patrick Sheehan. And I forgot to mention the beginning, before the 2 minutes end, at 30 seconds, I will just announce 30 seconds so that you know how much remaining time you have. Thank you. Doris, go ahead.
Yes, I was just wondering, Phil, when you look at the budget on the revenue side, whether the jurisdictional contributions are split so that you can see how much is going to fixed route and how much is going to Metro Access.
No, Doris, what they do is they will present the jurisdictional contributions and then WMATA decides how much of that contribution goes to each thing, each item. The interesting thing is Arlington County has always had the lowest jurisdictional contribution because they run their own paratransit system, the STAR system. And their jurisdictional contribution includes what they have to provide to Metro Access. And so that is one of the reasons that some of the other jurisdictions like DC have tried to come up with something similar like DC Transport, because that reduces how much the jurisdiction has to pay the WMATA. And so their contribution is based upon a combination of the ridership from that jurisdiction and bus and rail, plus the ridership to Metro Access. And because Arlington County has a much lower use of Metro Access, they have a much lower jurisdictional contribution than anybody else. So it's a very good question. And that's the way it is dealt with. The other thing is for the equipment part of the budget. That is typically dealt with matching funds from the feds. And so the jurisdictions have to contribute sufficient money for the construction to be matched by the federal grants that are gotten.
Yeah, I partially wondered because that if it were split, advocacy at the budget hearings for the jurisdictions could be more targeted, so to speak, for Metro Access Services versus fixed route service, and because, you know, so our consumers would be able to see that. And I think it's actually a very important thought for jurisdictions like Fairfax County, which is all in Metro Access, because Fast Trans, for example, is human service paratransit. It's not ADA paratransit at all. So, and the budget comes from, you know, like health and human services and such.
Exactly. It's a very good point. And it's something similar for Prince George's County. In Maryland, Prince George's money comes from Annapolis rather than from their own budget. And so it's important for the lobbying efforts that we make at Prince George's County is to get them to pull their own weight and not ask the taxpayers in Baltimore to pay for their system. They need to spend some money on their disability people. And they do have one of the largest use of Metro Access. So that's a very good point. Be aware of what's going on in your area. Manu, I think it was Patrick's turn.
Yes, it is. Followed by Ms. Rush.
Very good. Thank you, Anu. Thank you, Phil. So I think just two points that I wanted to make. One is that depending upon how you define weekend, and if you're going to the flat fare on the weekend, then that, of course, is going to affect Metro Access. So if you end up having a weekend defined as Friday through Monday, that does help Metro Access quite a bit. That's good. And so that's something that I think is very much in our favor. And as a matter of fact, it would be interesting when we have that to be able to take a look at the data to help us prove some of the points that we've been making with respect to wanting a flat fare. Agree with you on the other issues that you bring up, Phil, with respect to passes and all the other things that we've asked for over time. The fact that we are the X-axis and don't really show up on some of these graphs, I think is another reason why we get overlooked sometimes as far as Metro Access is concerned. So I think it's good, particularly bringing that up and pointing that out to new members is good. We've seen it over time, you and I, but it's good to point that out. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you. Man, that's super. And I will point out, unfortunately, the major advocate for the four-day weekend was Mr. Goldman, who has, in fact, left the board. But hopefully we can visit with his successors from Maryland. And that's up to Ms. Rush, who will be speaking now.
We are aware, we must keep in our foremind that Metro Access is the fastest route now. And for a long time, we've been asking for these passes. We've been asking for a lower fare. But now we are asking to be treated fairly because Metro Access, we get charged by the fastest route, and we're the fastest route now. And unfortunately, we had to have the derailment to, it's going to be a long time. We say January, it might even be longer that Metro Access is the fastest route because you have to wait forever for a rail to come. So let's keep that in mind and we all must participate in the hearings and ask our friends, since we don't have to go down to the hearings, just to pick up the phone or get on the computer and say our feelings and say what we really need and what is fair. But Metro Access, most of the people aren't working. They're on fixed incomes, and we need to get a break. Enough is enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. That is a perfect lead-in to one of my favorite quotes, which I may use at one of the hearings. And it is a simple question for the disability community. Are we children of a lesser God? Why do we not get a flat fare? Why do we not get passes? Why do we not get what everyone else is getting?
Yes, because we've been the highest fare for a long time. It didn't just start yesterday. It went from $3 to $7, and we got it to go down 50 cents, but let's come on down now.
And be flat and consistent, because that's the other thing we want. We want it to be understandable so that we can plan ahead. I notice it's 6:01, and has Dr. Lowe arrived?
I would double check. So far, I have not seen her. So do you want to go ahead and take next comments by Vanessa in the meanwhile?
Yes, that'll be fine. I'll also point out is during the conversations with Dr. Lowe, we will still do the 2 minutes. And I will ask you if there's something very urgent, put it in the chat box. Both Anu and I will be checking the chat box so we can pass it on. So go ahead.
Vanessa, go ahead and unmute yourself and make your comments. I would start the timer when you start speaking. Vanessa, if you would like to make any comments, I see your hand is up. You would need to unmute. Okay, Steve, you had your hand up earlier. It's down at this point. Did you want to make any comments while Vanessa?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
Question is, at one point or perhaps in the recent past, has anyone looked at other Metro Access services in similar sized cities with similar sized jurisdictions to see how they approach it? We may have the best approach here in our area, or there may be other approaches that we may wish to consider. It's not a comment, but more of a question, because we're not all reinventing the wheel. The wheel may be, maybe different shapes, but in certain aspects, but has the same function and same purpose.
Yes, thank you, Stephen. Yes, we do. We discussed the fares in Peer and others across the country. We discuss bus and rail in places that have rail and places that don't have rail. And so we do compare when we do our presentations to make you happy. They are seriously considering rear door boarding, and they will be developing a rear door fare collecting machine. And we will be asked to test it for accessibility. And one of the suggestions that I have made is that we could save a lot of money by just making it free, as several other jurisdictions have done, from Seattle to San Francisco to San Jose to New Orleans to Kansas City.
To Los Angeles now.
Yes, and San Diego. It was Los Angeles suburbs. And so, yes, they are moving ahead with that. No contract has been let, they're not expecting to get any equipment until sometime later in the spring, but I have been assured that our committee will be asked to screen anything before any contract is let, to make sure it is truly accessible. And I will continue to remind them how much money they would be saving by making it free.
Well, this is
other places that have done that have paid for it by getting contributions from the private sector, because all of the buildings that have their janitorial staff come in by bus, all the hospitals that have their nurses' aides come in by bus, all of the restaurants and hotels that have their staff come in by bus. My goodness. Wouldn't it be nice if they contributed to maintaining the bus routes? And so a little imagination, all the money does not have to come from the passengers. It can come from the communities that the passengers serve. So those are all parts of our discussion. And you know, when we do our little, that's some of the things, if you listen to my reports to the board, you'll hear me saying it on a regular basis. But when we have the hearings, we'll put those in the talking points if you guys want to suggest it. Because the people that ride the bus really serve the community when they get to where they're going. And even the people that aren't going to places they're working, the people that are going to shop, they're spending money in those businesses. And if Miss Rush can't get to the casino, who's going to spend money there?
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, where are we now as far as raised hands and Dr. Lowe?
Okay, so Dr. I do not see Dr. Lowe joined yet, but Vanessa still has her hand up. Doris has her hand up again. Vanessa, if you do want to make some comments, please unmute yourself and go ahead and start with your comments.
Okay. Can you?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. So my question is, and I've been hearing Dr. Krosner say we've been trying to represent for a while now. I'm curious as to what is the kickback for them not hearing us, because if we still coming to them, asking them for the same things, is there a reasoning why they're not hearing us?
Well, there has been a change in the members of the board over the last 2 years. And there have been a number of board members, and I won't single them out, who felt that we were a burden, that treated us kind of like the people that are on the bus that see somebody in a wheelchair trying to get on, and would like to just bypass that bus stop and not put up with the inconvenience of having somebody in a wheelchair come on. Or the taxi driver who did not want to be inconvenienced by having a dog in the back of their van, their vehicle. And so they have turned over, and we now have new members of the board that have better opinion of how much the disability community contributes to the area and to the region, and have a different approach in that they feel that WMATA is a public service. It's not a Fortune 500 company. And so as the members of the board have changed over time, there have been different opinions. And right now, the current makeup of the board is quite sympathetic to where we are. One of the new members of the board actually has multiple sclerosis and is one of us. Mm-hmm. Other members of the board have relatives with disabilities. And so they are sensitive to what we are doing. And they have also looked at the numbers, and they've asked the questions that we have asked. Why are they calculating Metro Access fares on twice the bus and rail fastest fare, as opposed to the twice the disability bus and rail fare, since everybody that is using Metro Access does have a disability. And so they, new people have asked that question and we'll continue to look at that. And so that's why we need to continue to bring up our point. It took a long time for the trickle of the Colorado River to build the Grand Canyon. And so we will continue to trickle and hope.
So it sounds like we need to protest because somebody has to hear us because nobody's hearing us. Senator Dole did a wonderful thing in what he did in starting the ADA. And we have to do something stronger than what we're doing because we're not being heard. And it depends on the personality or what the whatever Democrat, Republican that there is that's going to be on our side. So to me, it should be taken and made aware through the public in any way we can, shout loud that the way they are treating our community is not right.
Exactly. We need to all show up. Everyone on this committee has to show up and everyone has to bring their neighbors, their friends, and all of you that are part of an organization like the MS Society, the Heart Association, the Parkinson's Association, the vision groups, and everybody has to show up and make the point. As we have pointed out, there was a bus route to be shut down and 40 people showed up at the hearing and they didn't shut it down. They were about to ban violent and sexual offenders from using Metro Rail. And 60 people showed up at that hearing, and guess what? The sexual and violent offenders are still riding. And so the power of showing up to these hearings is really, really critical. Denise tells you that every time we meet, and you know we will continue to make sure that you do show up. And also, if you have access to the representative of your jurisdiction, email them, call them, let them know. These are the things that the disability community really needs.
Dr. Parker, this is Anu. We do have the board member joined the meeting, so she is on.
Yes, Dr. Lowe, welcome. I can't see you. Is your camera on?
Yes, it is.
Hey, this is me. Hi.
Hey, terrific. Did you bring the kitties and the cat with you?
I did just get the kids home. I'm so sorry I'm late. I missed a bus while I was getting the kids and then had to wait extra time and I ran like a crazy person. They are having dinner at the moment.
You didn't jump on your bicycle?
You know, I wish, but I have two kids and I haven't like quite figured out a rig that can tote both of them. They're really different in terms of weight and size. And
they have them in Holland all the time.
I know. And I have a rig that can carry both of them, but it can't go. It has three wheels and so it can't fit on the front of a bus.
Yeah.
So I still haven't figured out like the perfect solution. It's a work in progress.
We trust you. We trust you. You have the floor. To introduce yourself to the group and then ask us what you'd like to ask us.
Sure. So hi, first off, thank you so much for inviting me to your meeting. My name's Tracy and I'm the new member representing the district on the WMATA board. And I really just dropped by because Phil was so kind as to invite me. And what I was hoping to accomplish today was just to meet the members of the committee so that I can start to get to know the committee and you all as people. And then really I'm here to listen actually to what you have to say to me. I'm happy to answer questions too, of course, but really I'd just like to hear, kind of what's going on with you guys. Phil shared a couple suggestions at the last board meeting that it'd be great to hear from you all in a little more detail about. my attention particularly got grabbed by the idea of some kind of pass product for mm-hmm. Metro Access, but really I'd like to hear, you know, sort of to answer your questions and to hear, you know, whatever you'd like to share at the moment. I live in Friendship Heights, and I grew up in DC. So I've been using the system my whole life, and but I'm really interested to hear, you know, from you guys and what your current issues are.
No, that's super. Why don't we let Paul Semelfort and Denise Rush, who are the chair and co-chair of our Metro Access Subcommittee, we'll give them 2 minutes apiece. And then we can go to Tino Calabria and to Anthony Oberg, who are the chair and the co-chairs of our bus rail subcommittee. And then we'll throw it open to the rest of the group, and I will bore you to death with passes later on. And you now are chairing the meeting, so feel free to give them some more time or some less time or to ask questions as they go. So Tracy, you're in charge, and we'll let Paul go first and then thanks, Denise.
Hello, I'm Paul Summerford. I'm the chair of the Metro Access Subcommittee. Some of our big rocks for our committee that we're looking at right now, and again, I put out the pitch, if you in your wonderful tight schedule can come to the next Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, which is the third Monday of the month, which will be on the 20th. I would sincerely appreciate it, and you'll get a good fruit and flavor of the current issues that are going on. So some of the big rocks we're talking and looking at this point is, again, with the budget, you know, top of passes, on top of having fares that are flat for us, as we've been asking for a long time, and we have not gotten heard. The last time we packed a hearing was a good number of years ago. And when that happened, when we came, a lot of us out in the disabled community, the fixed fare rate went down from whatever his highest tier was, I believe was $7, down to $6.50. And that took a lot of people coming to that hearing. So as I echo with Phil, that's one piece. I'm looking at also with our, you know, with our customers, the Ride Metro Access, you know, safety and on-time performance. We've gone back to shared riding and the impacts for that. And
30 seconds.
All right. So we're looking at those things. We're looking at, you know, late trips, you know, things like that. And now I turn my time over to Denise Rush, who will pick up the rest.
I do have just one question.
That. Yes.
Yeah. Also, let me let you know that Paul teaches special ed in Prince George's County.
Oh, very cool. I used to live in that county.
Yes.
Ahead, so hello, one question.
Sure.
For your, and this can be for your whole subcommittee. I don't know if you feel like you personally have to answer it. So I know DC has started its own, you know, sort of like an on-demand, you know, like transportation service. And I'm wondering if any members of the committee have used either DC or other jurisdictions on-demand mobility services, and if kind of how the experience compares. And if, like, you know, when you're thinking about ways that Metro Access could be better, do we think about that in a vacuum, or are there like local examples that you're like?
So if you're asking about the local example in Prince George's County for the paratransit service they offer, I call it paratransit light, because they offer it, yes, at a lower fare, but it's only very limited. They pretty much push people to use Metro Access because they only offer very limited service within Prince George's. It's within its walls and jurisdictions, and even the hours are very limited. They are not during rush hours. It's during daylight hours, after rush hours. So it's a very limited time span. They will pick you up from one area of Prince George's to the other. And it's the service is not all, you know, we do it by appointment time on Metro Access. Appointment time is not guaranteed for the service that's within Prince George's County. And again, it's extremely limited in terms of its scope parameter and times that it can get people. So pretty much Prince George's perspective, from what I've heard with the program, is they are, you know, kind of push people off to do Metro Access. They cannot handle that volume and capacity, and that's why the largest portion of people who ride Metro Access are from Prince George's County.
Yeah, when I lived out in the county, the Metro Access van was on my street every week. I could tell people were using it.
Yes, and that's the reason why we have an internal one, but it's as the people of county officials have said, it is extremely, we're very limited. Use Metro Access if you need, you know, more, they don't say it so blatantly out front, but if you want more dependable service to get to where you need to go. At least that's my opinion. Go ahead, Ms. Rush.
I'm Denise Rush, the vice chair of the Metro Access Subcommittee, and I've been riding for approximately 22 years. My main concern, we do use the service in Prince George's, where I live, we use it the most, but we would like to not have cargo buses to ride in, because sometimes you might be on there an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. My concern is we get vehicles that don't catch every bump, that everyone can use, and be selective on what vehicles you purchase for Metro Access users and the fare. Metro Access has about the third largest fare in the country for service. We are comparable to New York and Chicago, and they're like $3, $2, and $2.25, or they're lower. Why are we double that? That is the concern that I have, and I want that issue to be addressed. And the passes. Everybody has a pass. Everybody. For everything. The visitors, the bus riders, the rail users, but not Metro Access users. And we use just as much service. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. Kino?
Well, hi, Dr. Lowe. As a Washington-born Asian-American, I grew up in Washington, as you did. So welcome. It's good you can share your expertise as well as your perspective as an Asian-American with the board and with us advisory committee members. Also, as chair of the online Greater Washington newsletter and a contributor to the newsletter, I really am grateful for what you do. I share many articles with my fellow advisory committee members, articles from GGW. Now, regarding a current interest of the committee, it's great you're an experienced bicyclist. Our committee's bus rail subcommittee has benefited from presentations by staffers of area governments who discuss the floating bus stops deployed in their jurisdiction. We appreciate the need for bicyclists who share roads with automobiles and other motor vehicles, their need to have more bicycle lanes to protect them from drivers of motor vehicles. But what is less known or appreciated is the need for people with disabilities and seniors to be protected from bikers. Unfortunately, there are bikers who are often careless or even lawbreakers, running red lights, etc.
30 seconds.
A few of such scofflaw bikers can make crossing streets very hazardous for folks with disabilities. So we have some ideas, but do you have some suggestions in this regard? Dr. Lowe?
Aye. Yeah. I mean, that's a really great question. And I think, this is something that I don't think the perfect answer is out to in any jurisdiction yet, that we have a lot of different kinds of users that are sharing road space. And we really need better design in order to promote the kind of, shared safety that I think we'd all really like to see. In my mind, I think the biggest issue with transportation right away right now is that it's mostly motor vehicles that are a huge safety problem and that do a poor job of sharing with other users. So that's been my primary focus. That said, I think that there is room for improvement in every area, and especially as we're in the very early days of implementing, even designing and implementing a priority bus network in the core, right? So especially in the District of Columbia, but also in Arlington and probably a little bit in Montgomery County too. There's actually a really great opportunity right now to share input with DDOT about how the priority bus network is designed in terms of kind of this level of detail. And so that process is just starting up, and there's gonna be a lot of outreach through the advisory neighborhood commissions in the district. So if there's a particular corridor on the priority bus network that you live near, I would definitely suggest getting in touch with your ANC commissioner and making sure that you know when DDOT is gonna be in your area so that you have a chance to provide input before there are any designs and before, if it feels like, decisions are starting to be made.
I live a block over the district line, so I don't have an ANC. Let me mention, though, that one idea, especially when they have one lane in which bicyclists go both east and west, the single lane in which they go both east and west, it's hard for us to keep swiveling our heads to see who's coming in and whether we can cross. So maybe speed bumps could be put into bicycle lanes, or more important but less viable is the suggestion that bicyclists have license plates and that surveillance cameras can capture bicyclists who are breaking the law, either going through stop signs or going through red lights or endangering those of us pedestrians and seniors with disabilities when we try and cross the road. But we'll be in touch with you.
Yeah, and personally, I love raised crosswalks as a solution that kind of like combines the idea of a speed bump, but also with an improved treatment for a facility that is for pedestrians. And I know that the council is currently considering legislation around prioritizing the role that race crosswalks play in the DDOT toolkit of how roadway intersections are treated. So I think that's another target area to think about. Regarding like opportunities for input and for change and for advocacy.
Dr. Hadlow, this is Anu. Go ahead, Dr. Posner.
Yeah, Anthony, your hand is up.
Oh. Hello, I'm Anthony Oberg. I'm the vice chair of the Bus Rail Subcommittee. I live in the Arlington area. I'm primarily a bus rail user. I live right by the Ballston area. And so one of the things that is of importance to me, and I know a lot of the rest of the committee, is sort of sometimes there aren't good routes or good areas for people in wheelchairs specifically to get on and off the bus. I happen to live in an area where that is fine. They redid the sidewalks and stuff around my apartment. But I know getting to the metro station is only the first step. The committee and subcommittee has done a lot of work around looking at elevator button placement and, you know, signage for how to get to the elevators and to and from the street. And so as a wheelchair user, that's been important to me, although I know with the construction of some of the stations that, you know, especially Ballston, I know that has had a lot of construction going on at it. When significant construction happens, it changes the routes for low vision and blind folks as well. So in making sure that that information gets relayed to Metro and people who could be using the system in different ways is something that we have worked on as well.
Thank you, Anthony. I think Patrick had his hand up anew.
Yes, he does. Patrick, did you want to go ahead and unmute yourself? And I know that Dr. Hedenlow had given us a time frame until 6:30, but
okay,
I can stay just a little longer. I can hear that my husband just came home, so someone is good. Watching this.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Thank
go ahead.
Thank you then. Very much. Great. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming tonight. I appreciate it. I've been working for about 4 years or so in Montgomery County with respect to the floating bus stops. There's a lady that I think would be very, very valuable to speak to this group and yourselves, who has we have some thoughts regarding making the installation of these floating bus stops safer using pedestrian beacons, hybrid pedestrian beacons, to let individuals know where the bus stops are, since they have been moved out to the street level. So one of the things that you need, that the blind population needs to understand is, where is the floating bus stop? So using these beacons is something that we are proposing in Montgomery County. We've been working with Matt Johnson in Montgomery County in tool design for about the last 4 years. So we have some pretty good ideas. We'd like to be able to share them with Jim Hamry and the board, because we'd like to see an effective floating bus stop consistent installation throughout the region. That's number one.
Sounds fantastic.
Yes. We've been doing a lot of talking, and so we're happy to share our ideas. And I think we've got a good group here in Montgomery County. Number two, as far as Metro Access is concerned, we're looking also at choice. So looking at the abilities ride that's being offered by WMATA, as far as extending what is happening with the Metro Access system, providing more rides at a cheaper rate, a better flexibility and mobility, I think addresses one of the areas that you were speaking about earlier. Thirdly, I know I'm jumping fast on this, but Metro Access, for instance, one of the things that I've been advocating for quite a while is access to real-time data. If you've got Uber and Lyft, there is no reason why the current GPS system shouldn't give someone the ability to know where their Metro Access rides are. It would make that much more efficient. We wouldn't have to go to "where's my ride." We would understand where the rides are when they're showing up, and I think that would make that system much more effective and perhaps maybe a little bit cheaper. And then lastly, the other bigger problem that I see, or I don't know if it'll work properly, is we were given information regarding the system being bus and rail particularly being affected by data as it comes into the system. How many people are using the system? What can we do with bus and rail to make them effective concerning the data that we're coming in with, how many people you're using? With the 7,000 series that we are all having issues with right now, plus not knowing what's going on with the pandemic, I'm just a little concerned with how agile can WMATA be as far as having a data-driven system. When the data has to come in, it has to go through analysts. The analysts then have to communicate a policy out to the individuals, and then you affect bus and rail. Is the reaction time in something like that realistic? I'd like it to work, but I have my doubts.
Thank you, Patrick.
Fair point.
Let me ask one
quick question, and then we can go to Doris. Tracy will stay. One thing on Thursday, I looked at the capital improvement budget that was posted, and nowhere is wayfinding in that budget. And wayfinding is something that everybody needs. Vision, low vision community, certainly, but older community and tourists need wayfinding. And I think it would be nice Thursday if you could ask the GM if they're considered putting wayfinding in their capital improvement budget. And then the other question you asked about the passes for Metro Access. Metro Access expense is based on road hours, how long they are taking people from place to place. And so efficiency is a key to reducing the cost of Metro Access. And so if they can plan the routes so that they can pick up regular passengers in a straight line going to one place or another. And so if they can give a break to people that are subscription riders, so the dialysis patient who goes 2 to 3 days a week, or the person that's going to work.
Yeah, so it's not quite a pass. It's really, it's more of like a two-way commitment.
Exactly. It's a win-win. So give them the benefit because they're really making it easier. It's less staff time, it's less hours. And the phrase that Chris Blake uses all the time is it's efficiency. So that's what I meant about the pass.
I'm really intrigued by that idea. And I think that's something that, let's think about that some more. Let's follow up on that.
Yeah, no, that would be terrific. And if you do have time for Doris Ray, for one last question before you relieve your husband of the kids.
They're his kids too.
Yeah, I know. Well, he could come in and we'll watch all of them. We've got a camera. We can watch them.
Okay, Doris, did you have any comments?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for coming tonight. My name is Doris Ray, and I'm a native Washingtonian, and except for a short stint in San Francisco, and I grew up here before there was a subway, and perhaps you did as well. And the bus service for me, as a person with disability who's used, I'm a blind person and I have a significant hearing impairment. The bus system, as well as the other parts of the metro system, for people with disabilities who are reliant on public transportation is needs our independence and it means our self-sufficiency. And the bus system is the backbone of that. Now, I live in Fairfax County, right at the border with Arlington, and I work throughout Northern Virginia. And I think that the efforts to expand bus service that WMATA was taking into account before COVID came along. I think we need to figure out where we're going to go with that and make the bus system, particularly for areas that are served only by bus and people are getting back and forth only by bus, needs to operate more efficiently so that then the subway can operate more efficiently too. And a lot of the scheduling in recent years has been done to direct people to go get on the subway, you know, in other words, feeding into the subway and not taking into account getting from one point A to point B in Fairfax County or Prince George's County and having sufficient bus service and frequency and routes to account for that. And I'm hoping that you and others might be advocating for that. And I'm one of the representatives from the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments Access for All Committee. And certainly we've had a wonderful cooperative relationship being on the WMATA AHC. And I think all of us are looking forward to working with you. So those are my comments, and making sure that we maintain the accessibility of bus, rail, the operability of metro access, and sustaining those services and enhancing them as we go forward. So well, thank
Doris,
you very
may
much.
I just say that. You and I really share priorities. Couldn't it, I mean, you are. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, I grew up in Ashton Heights, up on the 14th Street line. When we came back from San Francisco and we moved into into Silver Spring, at the time, it was so quiet, I couldn't stand it because I grew up on a streetcar line. Anyway.
Thank you, Doris. Dr. Posner.
I wanted to say one other thing, though. I wanted to say with regard to the floating buses, bus stops, which is also beginning to be implemented here in Northern Virginia. My concern is that for the blind community, we've had great consistency with where the bus stops are located. Makes it, you know, they're on the sidewalk, it's safe and such. And I have some real concerns that we perhaps did not, before the transportation departments implemented the floating buses and put them out on islands, didn't maybe have a discussion between the cyclist community and the pedestrian community, particularly the blind community and people who use wheelchairs, to find out how we could come to some compromises on our needs. So perhaps that's a thought that might be timely now.
Okay, thank you, Doris. Dr. Posner, I believe that is the end of our members making comments.
Oh, Dr. Lowe?
Yeah, and my kids have decided that they want to change into their pajamas now, so I should get them off camera. Thank you for your patience. No, I really appreciate you guys making room for me on your agenda, and I'd love to come back. I think there's a couple other topics that it'd be really great to set aside some time to talk about. And I'll be in contact about getting on your agenda in advance and maybe even like sending, someone needs help. I'll be in touch about getting on the agenda and sending questions and topics in advance, sure, so that we can make the most of time together. But it was just really nice to meet everyone and just like have a chance to get to know the committee even for just a few minutes.
Yeah, that's great, true. And the two subcommittees are from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. So it's a little bit earlier.
That's better.
Yeah.
and really, subcommittees are where the real work gets done.
Well, you've been listening to Patrick.
All right. Thank you all so much.
Oh, thank you. See you on Thursday.
Okay, Dr. Posner, so it's 6:43. We're almost at our public comments section.
Oh, I want to thank the committee. They were terrific tonight. And let's throw it open to the public. Anu, do you want to give the public their introduction?
Sure, if we have anyone who would like to make any public comments, I would ask, we had a request earlier that has been withdrawn. However, if anyone else would like to make any public comments, please let us know now. You can either raise your hands. If you're on the phone, you can raise your hand by pressing *9, or you can come off of mute and tell us if you'd like to make comments or send a message on the chat.
Hey there, this is Barbara. I'd like to make a comment, please.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Thank you. I would like to request benches, additional benches in the rail stations. What's happening now is there's a little bit of man spreading going on to where somebody will put their bag down on one edge of the bench and they will sit on the other. And it's kind of an unwritten law. Don't sit in that open space. So what you have is trains coming in 24 minutes. If you just missed one on the orange, silver, or blue line, and then you have to stand for all that time. And the lucky five or six people who managed to snag the bench will have the bench. I don't think that it's realistic that, you know, we're ever going to have our trains running such that people don't need to sit down. I mean, it's just moving parts, and that's just the nature of the beast. So maybe adding five or six more benches to the platform would really be great. Thank you.
And at a height to which everybody can get up from them.
Yes, and I did manage to look at the part, the electrical connection there where you can charge your phone. So I did have some activities to do. And of course, looking at the beautiful platforms that are done and the PIDs and everything else. So great job.
Thank you.
Okay. We have somebody on the phone. Go ahead and unmute yourself and start making comments. This is Maryland numbers. Last four numbers are 6633. If you'd like to make some comments, please go ahead and unmute yourself. You can use star six to unmute yourself.
Hi, this is David Weinberg. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Hello, this is David Weinberg. Very good. Hi. Hi, everyone. Again, David Weinberg. I'm a resident of Montgomery County. This is my first time participating in this committee, and I just wanted to make a brief public comment. I am the father of a 26-year-old man with autism. His name is Harris. He has his first apartment in Silver Spring, Maryland. He will have a live-in aide and be living on his own with support of his live-in aide and other support team members. He has a Metro Access Smart Trip card. He also has a personal care attendant card for his aide to travel with him. So we expect now that he's in Silver Spring, he will be using the Metro system, principally Metro Rail, on a more frequent basis. What I'm asking about, and I had a difficult time trying to find this information through the WMATA system, is can his Metro Access Smart Trip card be added to his mobile phone like I am able to do with my Metro card, adding it to my mobile phone? It's very good and very convenient, but for my son's purposes, he has challenges with fine motor skills. So being able to navigate his phone versus pulling a card out of his wallet would be a great assist. When I made the calls to various offices, some said yes, some said no, some said it's not on the horizon. So I'm very unclear about this reasonable accommodation and would ask that the board do what it can to try to be certain that all members of the Metro ridership are able to use the modern technology that is afforded to all non-disabled riders. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's a good question we have asked. And I saw Charles and Terry Ann were at the meeting earlier, if they're still there, and also Allison. If one of those or all of those three would try to answer that, or Mr. Blake, out and about.
Yeah, because they run Metro Access. This is actually a fixer outside of things. And I think the challenge, and I've looked at it and I did speak with the customer. The challenge right now is that unlike the cards that is being described that can be on a phone, the Metro Access Smart Trip card, of course, does not require any payment. And so there's the issue of the potential of fraud and other things that are of the concern at the moment. Whereas if you load your card on a phone that you've paid your money to, if somebody other than yourself uses that card or uses your phone, you're allowing for payment that has been made. However, the Metro Access card is technically supposed to be with the Metro Access customer. And if that card is being used by someone else, either on the phone or elsewhere, there is no check on the passenger. I'm not saying we won't do it or we can't do it, but there are some layers I have to continue to discuss with as to how do we make this a secure process for all parties involved.
Mr. Blake, let me make a suggestion. Right,
and I certainly understand.
It's mm-hmm. a cheap and easy one. They do make lanyards which have an elastic retractable band on it.
Yeah, and I can't find mine. I just had mine on, yes.
Exactly, and basically, if we could have eligibility, give those out with the Metro Access cards so that the people could put their Metro Access cards in that, it requires very little manual dexterity. In fact, I use it all the time because I can't handle a cell phone on crutches, whereas this, I can just reach up to my neck and stretch it out and tap it. And so that
that's a great idea. We'll look into that for sure.
Yeah.
And if not right away single person, we'll probably send it to the customer though.
Sure. No, I that's great. And I do appreciate that. And I appreciate the explanation about being certain all people pay their proper fare and not take advantage financially of the Metro system. I always go back to, what a non-disabled individual, the technology, the tools they have, and the should be almost equivalent to the tools and technology that's available to people who have disabilities. I mean, what I find really fascinating with my son is while he has fine motor skills, he's excellent at navigating his phone. He uses his phone a lot throughout the course of the day, and that's just a natural device for him to use. And of course, in the days of COVID and trying to keep things away from multiple touch points, the phone is just a great idea. I would just encourage that this committee support something like that, because I think it would be good, certainly for my son, and I'm sure good for many other people with fine motor skills.
And I want you to know, Metro Department of Access Services and the Metro Access team and our eligibility team and really the entire authority totally agrees with you on the concept of equivalent facilitation. Make no mistake about that.
Sure.
The only difference is in this particular case, it's not that we don't want to provide equivalent facilitation. It's that we're providing another benefit that's not necessarily equivalent, which is free bus and rail, which the general population, general public doesn't have. And in giving that benefit, there creates a challenge in making everything exactly like the general population. So that's why there's a difference in balance in this particular unique case.
Okay, I certainly understand that as well. The one thing I did get, and I had one individual, I'm not sure what office she was from, but after getting punted around to a half a dozen different offices, someone did respond back and kept me apprised, calling me over a number of different days, saying, I'm still working it. And she did call back and said, in fact, that it's her understanding that the integration is actually being worked. So I was really pleased to hear about that. You know, now the integration being worked could be a matter of weeks, could be a matter of months, could be a matter of years. We don't really know. And I just thought, since I had made the request to speak to this group tonight, even though something might be in the works, I thought I would just raise it here. But I do thank you all for your interest.
You also have to worry about the PCA, because the PCA gets a card that goes along with the disability individual, right, and they have to be timed with each other. So that's a little complex.
The technology is not the challenge. The technology is not the challenge. Okay. It's a case of, again, it's not necessarily equivalent all around, because there's a benefit that the general population is not getting. So therefore, we have to treat this card a little different than what the general population card is. I believe, and I'm not absolutely certain, but I'm pretty sure, for those who are, and Mr. Chairman, you know, you mentioned earlier in the meeting, the reduced fare card. Or the reduced fares, you don't necessarily mean card, but you mentioned the reduced fares, and maybe we should tie the Metro Access fare to that instead of the fastest fixed route equivalent fare. Well, a person using the reduced fare card is paying money, and their card can be loaded on their telephone. That's more of the equivalent example than the Metro Access free card at the moment.
Great point.
So that's interesting. So the reduced fare can be added to the phone. The regular fares can be added to the phone. It's just the Metro Access card that can't, even though there is a fare subsidy for the reduced fare cards, which can be added to the phone. So that's a very interesting insight. Thank you for that.
Okay, this is Anu. Chair Posner, we do not have any other members of the public who want to make comments. However, I do see Steve Kaplan has his hand up. Vanessa's hand is up. I believe that's from before. And Doris has her hand up. I'm not sure if this is from before. It may be from before.
No, that's super. I'll ask one last question. I noticed that Mr. Torres had joined us this evening. Does he not want to ask us anything?
He had requested to make comments, and then he withdrew that request, and I believe he's not on the meeting anymore.
Okay, that's fine. So why don't we go to Steve and then Doris, and then anybody else on the committee that would like to say something.
Okay, great. Great. Thanks, Phil. You know, when you raised the question of bus fares and perhaps even the free fares, you know, it's been my feeling that even though the politics may not be as such for the moment to get the fares down to free, they should be as inexpensive as possible, particularly for the passes, so that for a resident in the area, having a pass is a no-brainer. One way perhaps to encourage this is to have the passes not start out at a specific amount, but to reach an amount. So for example, let's say the maximum anyone could spend during the course of a week would be $4 or $6. But if they spent only $2, the charge would only be $2. I think there are people who are concerned that they might not use that amount of the pass to the fullest. And this is one way to approach it. London does this with their day pass and does it very effectively. When you reach the max, there's no more charge, and it encourages people to use the passes. You know, in the few seconds I have left, I was in Los Angeles 2 weeks ago. They had gone to three buses. Okay, free buses during the pandemic. They're continuing to stay free. It's changed the fabric of the city. People get on and off. Businesses are seeing shoppers that they've never seen before, because people do a hop on, hop off. the problems that we've had with respect to quick boarding are resolved because people are boarding in the middle as well as the front. There's no safety and security issue needing to be activated by the drivers as to whether you have a pass or not. So the buses run quicker. And, you know, that benefit perhaps counterbalances the cost estimate. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Yes, good point. And that model is one of the ones being discussed at the board meetings. So it's a great idea, and they're talking about it.
Okay, thanks, Phil.
Now, Doris, I think you were next.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Actually, I hadn't had my hand up, but now I do. So I just wanted to say that I think it's very important how we deliver our message during the budget hearings regarding us and them, Metro Access versus fixed route users, because many people with disabilities are using fixed route every day and aren't using Metro Access. And it's really not as simple as saying they've got all the benefits and we don't. And I think that we need to go together with one voice that the disability community is making sacrifices on either end, whether you're using Metro Access or Metro Bus. And I suppose we can discuss that at more length at other meetings. But I think that as a fixed route user, it's very painful to hear people say, I'm getting more than you are, when I don't feel that I am necessarily.
Thank you, Doris. Anu, I thought I saw Patrick try to break in.
Thank you. If I may, Phil. So I was just talking to a couple of folks in Montgomery County here, and we've sent a letter off to the Chris Conklin, who's in charge of transportation in Montgomery County. So Tino, Phil,
yes.
Carol, I'd like to share that letter with you just as an idea of what we're thinking here in Montgomery County. It speaks to increasing the safety of the floating bus stops and with respect to the ADA and effective communication, which we think is lacking when you take a bus stop from the side of the street and plop it into the middle of the street, and you don't tell particularly blind people that it's been moved. So we've got some thoughts on that. I want to share that with you guys so you know what we're doing in Montgomery County, and we'll see where that goes.
That's I look forward to seeing it, Patrick. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Carol. Yes.
Still, Tina, I think you're up for a bus rail report.
Yeah.
And I think I also sent you an email that the DOT this morning said everybody rides with a mask.
I didn't see that, but I must say some people are under the impression that masks aren't needed in stores and outside, and they're assuming that masks aren't needed in transit. Which is absolutely false. Masks are needed. And maybe we should make sure that WMATA reminds people by their signs in the stations and other places that masks continue to be needed, especially given this new Omicron, which we are still mystified by. With respect
yes, hopefully they will get a goose from the Federal Transit Administration now that it's a mandate.
Yes, I look forward to seeing your email on that. I guess it's my turn to deal with the draft minutes.
Yes, please.
Yes, well, we had on November 8th, Matt Johnson from Montgomery County, who did a very thorough job of apprising us of the early floating bus stops, which were built in 2017, and the second generation bus stops. I think they're going into a third generation, and they've actually, he mentions, although the minutes don't state it to my knowledge, that people like our wonderful Charlie Crawford was involved, and I think even Patrick Sheehan was involved at some stage in this. In any event, I've gone out and taken pictures of some of these, and I'll discuss those later. Jim Hamry also mentioned that there's been some involvement of our staff in discussion regarding floating bus stops. Hannah Rowe of the Platform Improvement Program mentions what has been done on several of the stations. And we also heard a bit from Kelly about a problem raised by a friend of hers or a colleague of hers regarding the square yeah. distance between the rail exit and the station. Let's see. Mr. Hamry also mentioned something about the e-paper, which is like a larger size Kindle, and is presumably easier to manipulate than just electronic instruments. And there were no public comments. Those are the draft minutes, and I hope that every member will look at them before we look at them in order to vote on accepting them at our bus rail subcommittee meeting next week.
Tino, this is Ms. Rush. The gentleman also said that they were going to find a place or have a place where they would do mock-ups so we could see what was going to happen before they started making changes.
He did. He did say that. And that's great. I hope that happens. He didn't mention when they would be available for us to inspect. I guess I should write to him and remind him of that and ask the question that you've raised, Doris. Thanks for raising the question.
That's Ms. Rush.
Sorry, Denise. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Denise. Yeah, Tina, hopefully you will follow up on the magic chain and move it. Not only for wayfinding in rail, but also with the floating bus stops.
Yeah, maybe if Carol's on, she can tell us what is the status of the wayfinding projects. supposedly there was to be another demonstration in Silver Spring, but if they're not in the capital budget, that means that it won't be happening anytime soon that we'll have these wayfinding instruments. Carol, could you let us know what the score is?
We are planning on having those two stations, Braddock Road and Silver Spring Station, to have a pilot program on that. And we should be able to see that in the next few months.
And is there some way we can assure that it goes into the capital budget? I mean, it's one thing to have the demonstrations, but if they're not in the capital budget, it's academic useless.
If I'm not mistaken, and Carol, you can correct me, but this is not a, this is being funded by the company we're partnering with. Is that not correct?
Yes.
Yes. So this is not a Metro budgeted item, but other than staff support. So this doesn't require budgetary resources from Metro. This requires the coordinated resources, access to our stations and other information like that, is my understanding of how this project is, the cost of it is being taken care of.
All right, Mr. Blake, but we're also looking, we thought we would get a copy of the project plan once it was signed off on. So I think that's one of the things that Tino is looking for, and so am I. So we know it's coming when.
Okay.
Well,
wait, and Carol, you know that, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about the project plan, and whenever it gets signed off on, I think the committee would like to know what the scope of the project will be in the timelines. Yes, we understand that Waymaps Verizon are funding the project, but that still means there's got to be cooperation that would be planned out in a project plan between Waymaps, Verizon, and WMATA.
Correct, but yeah. For now, the plan is we're gonna work on Silver Spring Station and Braddock Road.
Right.
And we will ask, so it will be a complete wayfinding project, and then the committee will be involved in the testing,
etc. Yeah, all I'm saying is that when you get the project plan signed off on, it would be great for the committee to be able to just see what it is. I understand what the preliminary schedule looks like.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. That's fine, thanks. Mm-hmm. I understand about project plans, so it's ready, we'd love to see it. Am I good there, Tino?
Yes, yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for bringing it up, Patrick.
Thank you. Let's let Paul move on to Metro Access with Denise. And then we'll come back to any general comments.
So this is Paul Somerford, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. So last month we had a lengthy discussion about return to share rides and what that looks like modified for right now into early next year. Again, Mr. Blake stated he's following the numbers. So the way the rides work right now is, you know, the ride is shared, but it's only shared with at least only another party for right now. No total more than three people total in terms of customers. With the driver, that's four in the van. And with the van is, you know, you have a pickup, you know, the other person in there to do another pickup. There's two parties, and then one gets dropped off and the other gets dropped off. With the sedans for right now, it's still only one person riding only with the driver and the back seat as of this moment. I know people express their concerns, and they can continue to do so if they need to request an accommodation for a particular trip because they have issues with the shared riding. That can be taken up with the ADA Office of Planning with Mr. Blake. So the other piece that was discussed was the Metro Access vans. Mr. Blake talked about purchasing minivans.
Hi.
And purchase of minivans. And we hopefully will get a report of more about that at the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. The other piece I will be putting up for the report, because I saw the Metro Access Subcommittee performance report for October. Is we're going to have a discussion of that as an agenda item and the open discussion, and that will be it. I'll take any questions, or Ms. Rush, you have anything to add to it?
Well, we also talked about the purchase. We want to update on the purchase of the minivans and the sedans. Mr. Blake gave a report about that. I think they're bidding on them, but we don't know exactly
when that's going to happen. We talked about the excellent service that Metro Access did give the blind community when they had their convention. And I think that's about it. Anything else, Paul?
Paul, this is Pat. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. And Denise also. A question. I remember that it came up as a point of discussion that we thought there would be an impact on folks that would be using wheelchairs on the in the Metro Access vehicles when we started the use of sedans. It's been maybe a couple of years now. I know we've had COVID in the meantime and all that. I guess it's something that we should look at to make sure that we're not impacting wheelchair users on the vans, but it's my sense that so far so good. Paul, well, Denise, are we seeing that any impact at all with the procurement of the vehicle?
Well, we did note that it is hard for a person to sit on that long seat and have the wheelchair person strapped in front of them. There's no way to do that nicely. Mm-hmm. Mr. Blake is aware of that. He knows that. So I don't think wheelchair people are waiting any longer. The performance is not, a lot of people are being late and then they're sending someone to pick them up or a taxi. But we did talk about the on-time performance. I don't remember the number.
I just looked at it. So that's why it's going to be a topic of discussion at the next meeting.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have some more questions about it, but I'm changing that open discussion to talk about some of those metrics and the new metric that was just added in there. So,
okay.
And that will be it.
Thank you. I see Vanessa and Tino have their hands up. Vanessa, you haven't spoken yet.
Did you have a question about my report, Vanessa?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to mention a concern, and maybe we can discuss it further at the Metro Access. Is I'm getting from consumers that, you know, the drivers, I'm sure, are instructed to keep their windows cracked, but it is causing a draft in the back, and some have had battles with the driver and the heat, and so maybe we can give some attention to that at the Metro Access meeting.
Sure, I have no issues with that. Just remind me at the beginning of the meeting to add that to the agenda.
I can't hear you.
I said, remind me at the beginning of the meeting, or you know what, I've taken notes, so I will be sending a revised draft of the agenda out later tonight. And I will incorporate the topic that you just talked about.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Tino?
Yes, Barbara has made a recommendation, of course, that benches be looked at in the stations. And as a member of the advisory committee, I'd like to reinforce that. We have talked about benches in recent meetings, and as a matter of fact, benches also on platforms or in waiting shelters. We not only wanted the benches to be of a sort that would enable people to rise up from different levels of seats, but we also talked about handrails or rails of some sort, which would assist people in helping them get up out of any seat. So I appreciate Barbara's hope that we get more benches in the stations. But beyond that, I hope we get more benches that are useful for all riders, both in stations as well as in shelters. you know, I think part of the problem of the kind of benches that are on the stations relate to Harry Weese's, you know, the designer of the our metro system. He had these aesthetics, which, among other things, meant that when the stations were open, they were relatively dark. And the idea, of course, was to be able to appreciate the play of light and shadow on the rotunda of the on the ceilings. And also, I guess, the spare kind of stone benches that he had placed in the stations was then replicated. Well, first of all, there weren't many of them. And when they built benches in the stations, either indoors or outdoors, or in shelters waiting for buses, they almost were virtually the same kind, without any backrest, without any way of assisting a person to get up and down, be they persons with disabilities or other people. So I second Barbara's recommendation. Let's make sure that somehow we move on this and not only build more benches in stations, but improve their design so that people are better enabled to get up off of the benches, and that also the benches are duplicated in the stations and in bus shelters. Thank you.
Thank you, Tino. The other problem is people using the seats for bags and pets and what have you. And we need a public service campaign that points out that seats are for butts, not for bags.
Right.
Okay, how are we doing, Anu? As far as anybody else wanting to speak?
Not at the moment, unless somebody raises their hand or comes off of mute. Well, Doris just raised her hand. So Doris, go ahead and unmute yourself.
I just want to say, Phil, I loved it. What you just said. I loved it. Let's write the PSA and give it to WMATA.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. We'll have to make sure they think the butts are not cigarettes. We have some hot seats. Okay, by voters' consent. Carol, you have appeared on the screen.
Oh. I don't know if we will approve that language. Yes.
Well, they did that in New York, but New York's a little racier than D.C.
A bit more aggressive. Yes.
Okay, if we have no more hands, Anu, if you have any announcements about comments or submissions or whatever.
Yes, I was just about to get to that. Thank you. So just want to remind everyone, any members of the public, if you'd like to make any comments before or after the meeting, or even during, you can surely send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com. Or you can call and leave a message at 202-962-1100, and we will follow up with you. So that was my announcement about public comments. Thank you.
Thank you. And you can also go directly to the board this Thursday. So feel free. I want to compliment the committee. I think this is one of the best meetings we have ever had.
Absolutely. Guys
were all terrific. And with unanimous consent and no hands being up, I think we can actually get a few minutes back to our lives.
Hey.
Yes.
So meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone for joining, and we will see you next week for the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting.
Okay.